Welcome to the Gore Press Gorecast. Jamie and Sarah have opinions that may be considered disagreeable. Hell, they rarely agree themselves. So, sit back, strap in, and prepare for yet another horror movie podcast. Brought to you by www.gorepress.com.
Hello, and welcome to the second episode of the Gore Press Gorecast. I'm Dangerous Jamie, and with me is Sarah. Say hello, Sarah.
Hello.
Hi. So, how are you doing, Sarah? Are you okay?
I am. I'm good.
Excellent. We're going to kick off with what we've been watching in the past few weeks. So, do you want to go first, or should I?
I'll go first.
Excellent.
I've watched a lot of stuff that isn't that doesn't come under the umbrella of horror, to be honest, for a change. Watched a film called Fish Tank, which was quite good, aside from the fact that it was full of chavs. But it's directed by Andrea Arnold, who also did Red Road, which was the first of three films, I think, that fell under the dogma rules. There were three directors that got together, and they were all going to use the same actors. So that was the first. But yeah, both really, really good films. Should definitely check those out. I think she won an Oscar for her first short film. So, very, very talented director. What else did I watch? Triangle, which I actually quite enjoyed.
Have you seen Time Crimes?
I haven't, no. A lot of people say it is sort of an inferior version of that, but I haven't seen Time Crimes, so I can't compare the two, really. But I did enjoy Triangle. So it was really good. As you know, I gave Dead Girl another watch after we talked about it last week. Absolutely amazing films. Definitely stood up the second time. Stood up to a second watch. Yeah, definitely. I watched Cabin Fever 2 after we talked about that one as well. I'm not a big fan of the original Cabin Fever, but Cabin Fever 2, yeah, I quite liked it. Despite, I don't know, all the backlash that it received, I thought it was quite good. As long as you're not expecting anything highbrow. It's good. Good sort of old-fashioned splatter film. And I watched all the series of Fear Itself, which was actually not nearly as bad as I was expecting. Because, I mean, it's sort of the watered-down version of Masters of Horror, isn't it? So I was expecting absolutely piss-poor episodes. But to be honest, a lot of them were actually at least as good as, if not better than, most of Masters of Horror Season 2. Despite,
that's cool. Which directors are a part? Is it all the same directors as in the Masters of Horror stuff?
A lot of the same ones come back, but they're not as there's a lot of less high profile directors this time around. John Landis came back, but to be honest, his episode was one of the weakest. I thought it was a bit predictable and a bit boring. I think there was one. Was it Ronnie Yu that directed Bride of Chucky?
I think it was.
Yeah, his was actually really, really good. One called Family Man. That was definitely one of the better ones. So yeah, just definitely check that out. It's not nearly as bad as people say it is.
Excellent.
Yeah, other than that, just a few bits and bobs that we've already reviewed on Gore Press, like Jennifer's Body and Borderland, stuff like that. And that's about it, really.
I still haven't seen Jennifer's Body.
Have you seen Juno?
Yes.
What did you think of that?
I have. I hated it.
You'll hate Jennifer's Body then. I'm the same. I hated Juno. I thought it was contrived, awful, awful bullshit. I don't get along with Diablo Cody's writing at all. Just don't like it. So yeah, if you didn't like Juno, I would steer clear of Jennifer's Body, to be honest. Unless you've got a thing for Megan Fox.
I definitely don't have a thing for Megan Fox. I think she looks like she needs a good wash.
Yeah. She has got a touch of the Christina Aguilera about her, hasn't she?
She has. Although I accept it with Aguilera. I'm quite a fan of hers.
Really?
But what's her name? I've forgotten her name now.
You're going to have to be more specific than that.
Jennifer's Body Girl.
Megan Fox.
Megan Fox. How the fuck did I forget Megan Fox?
I don't know. In the space of 10 seconds.
I just Yeah, I just don't get it. I just don't see it with her at all.
I don't know. Not being male, I can't really chip in on that one.
Can you not? I can always chip on how attractive Ian Somerhalder is. So maybe that's just me. Who knows?
Maybe.
Anything else?
No, not really. Over to you.
No probs. Well, after we talked about it last week, I introduced Hannah to Frankenhooker.
Okay.
Which she was quite enjoying until my DVD went ape. So now I've got to buy a new copy of Frankenhooker, which is a bit lame. But I love Frankenhooker. Also watched Spy Game, which is a sort of spy thriller with that old guy whose name I can't remember, Robert Redford maybe, and Brad Pitt playing spies, and they're spies. Basically, that's about it. I watched the Indonesian action film directed by the same guy that did The Stabilizer called American Hunter, which was incredibly stupid and a lot of fun.
So stupid in a good way.
Yes. if anyone's seen The Stabilizer, I don't know if you've seen The Stabilizer, but it's amazing.
Okay, keep an eye out for that one.
It's just ridiculous. And it's just more of the same. I watched Urban Legend, which we discussed off off podcast, which I'd never seen before, and I guessed the end wrong. it was pretty good. I think that girl, the one who has the curly hair, what's her name?
Rebecca Gayhart, I think.
Yes. Do you not think her eyes look like they're painted onto her eyelids?
I can see where you're going with that one. Yeah, kind of.
Yeah. Well, I gave Urban Legend a 7 out of 10.
Really?
So it must have been all right. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't have been that generous. I think I gave it a six and a half when I reviewed it.
Fair enough. Well, I'm a big fan of Alicia Witt in that film. She has not looked better than she looks in that film.
I am quite jealous of her hair.
She's just gorgeous. Oh.
So better than in Cecil B. Demented?
Yes. Yes. Well, I can't remember what her part in Cecil B. Demented is. She's the porn star, isn't she?
She's
the rear entry. That's her.
Yep.
I need to watch Cecil B. Demented again. I need to have a bit of a John Waters catch up. I've not watched a few of his films. I still haven't seen A Dirty Shame. And one of the ones with Divine.
Yeah, I didn't enjoy A Dirty Shame, I'll be honest. I thought that was... I don't know, he was trying a bit too hard with that one.
Fair enough. It's got Johnny Knoxville in it, so it must be pretty terrible.
Yeah. Not necessarily the mark of quality, is it?
Not at all. Then last Sunday, I had film night at my friend Tom's house with his massive projector. And we watched Dark City, which I love. Like The Matrix, but good. And we watched This Is Spinal Tap, which is just amazing, as always. I watched, when I got home, The Violent Professionals, which is a Sergio Martino Eurocrime thriller, which is just great. Awful dubbing, but amazing. I would recommend that to anyone with eyes. I watched Death Wish, which I haven't seen in a good long time, and it was not as good as I remember it. I gave it a 6.5 out of 10, so officially Death Wish is worse than Urban Legend. The performances in it are just pretty terrible, and some of the dialogue is just laughably bad. Speaking of laughably bad, I watched Giallo again.
I haven't seen it. Is that
Dario
the one with Adrian Brody?
Yes.
Yeah, I haven't seen
that yet. It's Dario Argento's amazing Fall from Grace. It's incredibly awful. I made Hannah watch it and she just laughed all the way through. So funny and bad. And Adrian Brody is incredible as being like... Oh, I, I want to just spoil it for everyone, but I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
And then I watched Time Crimes, which is still great. Good Spanish time travel kind of horror thriller thing. I showed Hannah Dead Man's Shoes because she'd never seen Dead Man's Shoes, and she loved it.
That is
I still
an incredible
love it.
Film.
It really is.
Paddy Considine just blows me away in that film. He's incredible.
He's such an amazing actor.
He is.
It's really great. I watched Alone in the Dark again because after me and Hannah had watched Dead Man's Shoes, she wanted something that was a bit light, so I stuck Alone in the Dark on and we had a good laugh at that incredible sex scene with Tara Reid and Christian Slater. Amazing. I'd completely forgotten that Stephen Dorff was even in it.
Yeah. I just find it really hard to get past the fact that we're supposed to believe Tara Reid's a scientist.
It's true. Oh, well, she's not technically a scientist. She's a museum curator, which is far more believable for Tara Reid, I find.
Completely, yeah.
And then last night I watched Nightmare Weekend, which is like a mid-80s zombie mind control horror pile of dodgy shit, which I really enjoyed, but I would not rate it any higher than a 5.5.
Okay.
Yeah, so... Oh, also, I've been watching quite a lot of season... whatever season just finished of Burn Notice, which I love.
I think, was it season 3 that's just finished, or was it 4?
I think it was 3.
I'm not up to date.
It's really good.
If you
I like
can
how
get...
it gets... It,
go on,
sorry.
I was just going to say, it's really good if you can get past the dodgy Irish accents.
Well, the dodgy Irish accent stops after the first episode.
No, but there's another one, though, isn't there? When he starts employing a dodgy Irish accent.
Yes. Well, that's the only other one.
Well.
I really enjoy it. Hannah hates it, but I really enjoy it. And it's a lot of fun. And it's got a lot more serious and a lot less funny as season 3 has gone on.
Okay.
But it's still funny. I mean, you can't have Bruce Campbell in it and not be funny. So that's everything we've been watching, I guess.
Yeah, pretty much. Aside from the fact that I got forced to make to watch High School Musical 2. But
that's so good.
It's not really relevant.
It's good though, isn't it?
It's not.
I don't understand what your problem with the High School Musical is.
I'm cynical and horrible and old. I don't know.
I'm pretty cynical.
I really actually quite like musicals. Strangely enough, but I just can't get on board with High School Musical. The second one was better than the first, I'll give you that.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
Right, so I guess we'll take a quick break and come back with our first review of the tonight. We're doing Needful Things and then we're doing Faust for The Love of the Damned, which was... Oh, we'll get to that. So, after the break, back with Needful Things.
Something very important today. That's outside the cinema. I know a lot of you listening now enjoy the film world. Boy, outside the cinema covers all kinds of good films. If you're looking for the classics, perhaps you're looking for a good old Nazi film where the Nazis torture and rape everyone in sight. Or giant monsters crawl from the sea. Or perhaps an Italian film where Edward's Finish takes her clothes off for no apparent reason. Or renegade bikers just do whatever they damn well please. Perhaps even occasionally turn into a werewolf. Then Outside the Cinema is your place to go. That's www.outsidethecinema.com. Outside the Cinema, your source for cult movie discussion.
Thank you.
Right, so we're back and we're going to kick off with our review of Needful Things. So, what did you think of Needful Things, Sarah?
I'll be honest, it didn't do a lot for me. I didn't hate it, and I didn't think it was a bad film, but I'm certainly not in a rush to watch it again. It was kind of typical of a Stephen King adaptation for me.
A bit. It did seem very Stephen King to me as well.
Yeah, so Stephen King by the numbers.
Stephen King wrote it. Yeah. And there was something about it. One of my notes is that it's just so 90s. It felt like a time capsule of just a film made in the 90s with all 90s techniques and 90s actors. And it was just like the 90s. It also had that 90s reference to, or that 90s thing that every film had in the 90s. I've said 90s quite a lot.
Yeah.
But every film in the 90s had that thing that said there's a storm coming.
It
seemed to be every film.
Film
pretty much.
I'll have to look out for it.
So when I first put it on, mm-hmm. I saw that it had Max von, is it Sydow or Sydow?
I always say Max von Sydow.
I've always said Sydow as well, but I was listening to someone else and they said Sydow.
Maybe they're wrong.
But yeah, fuck them, it's Sydow. But when I first saw the credits come up and it said Max von Sydow and Ed Harris, mm-hmm. and I obviously knew that the devil was involved, I had no idea which one of them would be playing the devil.
See, well, I knew beforehand, so I didn't have that problem, but yeah. I can see what you're saying. Could have been either one.
I've never seen Ed Harris in a role where he plays like a normal, nice guy. And I think he did really well. He was really convincing.
Yeah. I think all the acting was pretty good.
Well, Amanda Plummer was fucking dog shit.
I couldn't tell a fucking word she was saying throughout most of it. I mean, I guess that was supposed to be some kind of New England accent.
I think that's the main accent, because it's quite similar to Herman Munster's accent in Pet Sematary.
Yeah, I just couldn't tell what she was saying most of the time. It was terrible.
It was terrible. Was she meant to be playing older than she was?
I don't know. I don't even know how old she is. She doesn't seem to have aged for the last 2 decades. She looks the same now.
Does she really? I haven't seen her in anything in a long time.
She hasn't changed much. But yeah, I don't know. She seemed to be. She was sort of made up to look like an old lady, really. But obviously wasn't.
She was. Well, I thought she was rubbish. Her character was just shit.
She was the weak point, definitely.
Definitely. I thought Sydow was amazing. He's just a great actor, and he managed to just hold my attention throughout the whole film, effectively.
Yeah. The only point on which I might disagree with you is that I know it was the whole point that he was supposed to be sort of quite softly spoken, and he had to get everybody to trust him. But there were times when he just, I don't know if he was supposed to be quite sinister, but there were times where he just looked like he should have been sitting in a rocking chair and eating Werther's Originals. And he looked like somebody's granddad. Rather than
I would totally agree with that. One of my notes is that I really liked how he played the devil as a sort of bumbling uncle.
Yeah, I get that that was how he got people to trust him. But I don't know, I thought that was a bit weird. I thought in terms of on-screen depictions of the devil, he wasn't remotely frightening.
It's true. I spent quite a lot of the film waiting for him to go Pacino at the end, and it just never happened.
Yeah.
It was a real shame, but never mind. And I had a few more notes about, obviously, the fact that he's the devil isn't really a spoiler. Would you say it was a spoiler?
No, that's
okay, good.
One of the parts that I dislike most is that I thought it was really, really predictable. From the first few minutes. Yeah, definitely. It didn't surprise me.
I didn't see, well, I don't know if it would, if I would say it surprised me, but I didn't expect, what was that guy's name? Buster. I didn't expect him to go to the level that he went to. And I didn't expect, Max von Sydow and Bonnie Bedelia, or whatever her name is, to have that scene that was weird.
Yeah, I could have done without seeing that.
She's very attractive, though, isn't she? She's got this sort of Colleen Nolan, I probably would, factor.
She is, but I'm not. I wasn't so convinced by the uber 90s hair.
Oh, I'm a big fan of big hair.
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
You're a strange one.
It's been said before. So, the guy that played Norris, I've got his name written down here, is Ray McKinnon. Was he playing Norris dressed as Matthew Modine?
I'm trying to remember which one Norris was. Oh, the deputy.
He was the deputy.
He did have shades of Matthew Modine about him, didn't he?
If by shades you mean like pitch black.
A facsimile.
It was, yes.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. I don't suppose that was intentional, no, but I see what you mean.
Yeah. Back to von Sydow. Mm-hmm. Was there some sort of significance to the fact that he was from Akron, Ohio, or is that like some reference that I don't get, or is it just a little thing that they put in for no reason?
I have no idea. If it's a reference you don't get, it's a reference I don't get either. So, no idea.
And
about
why does nobody find it weird that he knows all this intimate stuff about them? Except for Polly.
I have no idea. See, I don't know, there are so many holes in it. That's another reason I don't like it. It just doesn't make sense. And there was absolutely no reason for you to suspend disbelief. No reason that we were given that he would know all that sort of stuff. So, yeah, that's another reason I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I thought J.T. Walsh was a real strong point, though. He was fantastic.
Who was he?
Buster.
Oh, he was Buster.
Yeah, he was a great actor.
He was ridiculous. He was like, if you turned like a normal actor up to 10, and then he was just so over the top. It was almost fun, but I didn't quite like it.
I did. I thought he was a really good actor. Yeah, he's been dead 12 years now.
Has he really?
Yeah.
That's a shame.
That almost sounded sincere.
Oh, no one ever get the sequel, Danford Keaton the Fourth. See what I did there?
Clever. I did. Do you know what we've not done?
What have we not done?
Run through the synopsis again.
Oh, the synopsis. Basically, okay. Basically, this guy's the devil, he has a shop. The end.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Ed Harris is a cop. He wears a baseball cap.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the whole film.
Yeah.
Some woman's got arthritis.
Max von Sydow convinces people to... Do they sell him their souls? I guess they do.
Well, no, they just do like a deed, don't they?
Yeah.
They just do him like a little favour.
He's almost
play
got
a prank
the brainwashed,
on someone else.
Though.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that's about it.
And these people do really shitty things without much convincing, though. If someone showed me like my favourite toy when I was a child, which I don't even remember what that was, but if he was like, look, here is Teddy Ruxpin. Go throw apples through someone's window, I'd be like, no dude, fuck off.
Could have gone for something cool like a boglin or something.
I love Teddy Ruxpin, get over it.
Okay,
but yeah, I wouldn't like do Oh, I don't know. I might kill someone's dog for a Teddy Ruxpin. But I don't know what else I would do. But yeah, these people do shitty things, and it doesn't take anything to convince them.
And that's about it, yeah. And then it all goes tits up at the end. And there's
it
some
does.
Big Michael Bay-type explosions. That was a bit out of place, I thought.
Well, this is a bit of a brief spoiler, but the guy says that he's going to blow up the whole town.
Yeah.
And then when he detonates, it doesn't blow up the whole town, it just blows up the one shop. So, I don't know what he was planning on doing.
It, though. If he was outside.
Oh, of course.
You disbeliever.
I know. I'm shocked. There were too many story strands for it to make any sense for me, really. There was a lot of stuff that didn't matter. And that girl with the sunglasses, which I read in the IMDb trivia, that she was like a cut scene or a cut storyline, that she kept popping up. It was really weird. There was just this random woman walking around with these big sunglasses on, and that was annoying. And there was just too much going on, and it was too fucking long.
It was. What was it, like, getting on for two hours?
Yeah.
They could have chopped a good half an hour out of that, definitely.
They could have chopped a good 2 hours out of it. Just chopped everything that wasn't Sidow just talking to himself.
That wouldn't have made much sense either, though. As a start.
Well, it might have made as much sense.
True. Yeah, another thing I've got written down that I thought was really, really annoying, it was the score. I thought the score was fantastic,
really?
But it was so intrusive. I thought it was really distracting, a bit obnoxious at times as well. And it didn't help to build any tension.
It's really distracting because it's so much better than the film.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, it was really, really theatrical. And it didn't match the film. It didn't match what was going on.
The guy that scored this,
mm-hmm.
I had his name but I've forgotten it, Patrick Doyle, did he do The Omen as well?
It would make sense if he had done.
If he didn't, the guy who did The Omen should probably sue him.
Yeah, definitely a few similarities there.
Yes. So what did you think? It was directed by Fraser Clark Heston,
mm-hmm.
who played Baby Moses or something in the Charlton Heston Ten Commandments film.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming they're related. What did you think of the direction of the film?
I thought some of it was quite good, and some of the cinematography was quite good as well. Sort of the shots that were interspersed with sort of, I guess, the big, was it a lighthouse? And like the sunsets behind
Castle
it
Rock
and stuff.
Lighthouse.
Yeah, I thought some of that looked really, really nice. But I don't know. I don't think he's the best director in the world.
No.
And I think
I would agree with that.
Some of the performances that he got out of people were a bit hammy. Some of them were fantastic, but some, like you said before, were a bit over the top.
I think that they were fantastically hammy.
Yeah. And there were quite a few shifts in tone as well, I thought. Like, the first half, I thought they were really going for some kind of black comedy. But then the second half, they kind of went a bit more serious. And then brought back the comedy, and it just... There were too many tone shifts, I thought. It didn't make a lot of sense.
I thought it was shot a bit like a TV movie.
Yeah, another thing I've got written down is that I think a lot of Stephen King adaptations seem to have this sort of cheap look to them. I can't really explain it completely, but they do have that sort of made-for-TV feel about them. And I can't pinpoint exactly why.
A lot of them are sort of like a two-part miniseries, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like, it was a two-part miniseries, and
mm-hmm.
there was The Langoliers.
The Stand was in parts, wasn't it?
Yeah, I haven't seen The Stand. It's one of the only Stephen King books I've actually read.
One of the better adaptations, actually. It's quite good. It's very of its time, though, but it's still worth watching.
That must just be a symptom of Stephen King. Because, like, this is very much of its time. And very much of its time as well.
Definitely.
I thought there were some really nice shots, but it was mostly standard point-and-shoot.
Yeah, there was nothing special.
There was a few nice dolly shots and some really, really nice slow zooms where you barely even know that it's zooming in, but you're just getting closer to the character.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really good.
Yeah.
But there was maybe like three or four of those in the whole movie, so not the best.
So what do you think, he overused that technique or didn't use it enough?
No, I think he used it just enough, but he didn't have enough other techniques to keep it going.
Okay. I thought in terms of characters as well, there are a few nice stereotypes in there. I don't know if that's due to the way Stephen King wrote them or the way the screenwriter interpreted them, but like you've got the ornery Irish Catholic priest and stuff like that, and it's just too stereotypical, which is what led me to believe maybe they were going for an element of comedy.
I could see that.
Because they weren't very serious characters, a lot of them.
I really liked Don Davis as Reverend Rose. And we'll mention him again in the review for Faust. But I thought he was just terrible and amazing at the same time. He's like a big ball with like no eyebrows. It's incredible.
Okay.
But yeah, the characterization is just pretty awful. Nobody has any sort of depth apart from Alan, Ed Harris's character.
Yeah.
And even his depth is like a few inches.
That's about the extent, yeah. But yeah, I don't know if they were intending for it to be scary, but I didn't find any of it remotely frightening. I thought the scariest part in it was the scene set in the bar where the Billy Ray Cyrus song got stuck on repeat. That was the scariest bit for me.
That is terrifying.
It's not a nice prospect, is it?
No, it's like Dante's seventh circle of hell.
Yeah, but going back to you saying you thought it was too long at 2 hours, I don't know if it's true, but I've heard there's actually a version out there with an extra hour of footage.
Oh, good. That's brilliant. Let's find it right away.
No, let's not. I couldn't possibly imagine watching that film for 3 hours. I couldn't. I think I would have walked away. Like you say, it was too long at 2 hours.
And it was really slow as well. There were some nice sort of punchy scenes where you think, all right, this is getting going now.
Mm.
And then that scene ended and then you've got to watch fucking Bonnie Bedelia wipe a counter for 6 minutes or something.
Well, Ed Harris brooding for a bit.
Yeah, brooding in a baseball cap.
Yeah.
I've just never seen him in a film not wearing a baseball cap. Does he wear a baseball cap in A History of Violence?
I was just about to say that. No, I don't remember him wearing a hat in that film. Maybe he did. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure he probably did. I don't remember ever seeing him not wearing a hat. Also, with Leland Gaunt, which is Von Sydow's character,
mm-hmm.
It's implied that he caused all these massive events like the Holocaust and disasters like the Hindenburg.
Yeah, when they find the newspaper
So why the fuck does he give a shit about 20 people in a small town in Maine?
Well, I can't exactly remember what he says at the end, but it's sort of implied that he was leading up to something big. Like, they could have been the next
only big thing
disaster.
Would be, like, the death of the town.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. No, you're right. Why
and
would he concern himself
people
with a backwards little town that nobody's ever heard of?
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that doesn't make sense. But then I guess they were going for some kind of, I don't know, they had to have the sort of community, like everybody knew everybody else.
Speaking of the community, one of the notes I've got here just says, the characters are all stupid assholes.
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
Oh, and also, I don't know if I'm the only person that thinks this, but do you think Ed Harris looks like Clint Howard?
I don't think anybody really looks like Clint Howard. He's in a league of his own.
I don't even think Clint Howard looks like Clint Howard.
Oh, bless him. I love Clint Howard.
Well, someone's got to.
But yeah, no, I can see what you mean. A slightly less unfortunate version of Clint Howard, perhaps.
I think unfortunate is the polite way of saying it.
Yeah. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
Did you spot the incredible Point Break moment when Ed Harris held his gun in the air, fired his gun into the air and went, ah?
I did. And do you know, it's been so long since I've seen Point Break, it's only because of Hot Fuzz that I got that. And it made me chuckle.
It made me chuckle as well. I want to know if there are more films where people shoot their gun in the air and shout at the same time. And I would like, if anybody out who's listening knows of any films like that, I want you to email me at gore, whatever the email address is. What's the email address?
podcast@gorepress.com.
That's the one. So yeah, email me and I will watch all the films with people shooting in the air and going, ah.
Okay. Any particular reason or just for...
I don't know. I just think I want to see. I want to see more. I just want to see more people shooting in the air and shouting.
Okay.
Did you think that J.T. Walsh's big speech did it remind you at all of George Costanza?
No.
It reminded me a lot of George Costanza.
Okay. That didn't cross my mind at all. I'll be honest.
It was very neurotic and Jewish. I thought. The only notes I've got left. I've only got one note left, and that was based on the line, third-rate bastard. Somebody calls Leland Gaunt a third-rate bastard. Does that mean that he's bad or he's good? Like, if a third-rate bastard, if someone was like a first-rate bastard, they're a bastard. If someone's like a third-rate bastard, does that mean that they're kind of all right?
Just a bit of a bastard, but I don't know. Third-rate's not a good thing, though, is it? So maybe third rate and the term bastard shoved together means is worse than first rate bastard. Because they're not even good enough
possibly
to be first.
But if, I don't know, that's confusing. Very confusing. So, to sum up, what are your overall thoughts of this film that's called Needful Things? I'd forgotten the name of it for a minute there.
Like I said before, it just strikes me as a bit of a by-the-numbers Stephen King adaptation. Nothing about it was particularly special. Some of the acting was good, some of it was poor, some of the direction was good, some of it wasn't so good. Some of it seemed a bit confused. Like, it went off on some strange tangents, and like you said, there were bits that they never returned to that didn't make a lot of sense. And the whole thing just was a little bit meh for me. I would give it sort of 5 out of 10. I didn't hate it, but I didn't really like it either.
Well, I'm giving it a 5.5. It's pretty terrible. There is some good acting in it, like you say, and there's some other fun stuff that happens. But mostly, it's a rent. If we lived in a society where you could still rent films from places, I give it a 5.5. It's too long, too confused. But with some interesting parts.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we're done on Needful Things.
Yep.
Cool. Well, we'll be back shortly with our review of Brian. Is it Yuna? Yuzna? Well, his film Faust. Catch you in a little bit.
Are you tired of film podcasts where the hosts exist in a constant, blissful state of agreement?
I mean, the main characters are two of the dullest main characters I have ever encountered in any film.
Well, you're in luck. Let me introduce you to Chinstroker and Punter. One is an ex-film student with a penchant for David Lynch and art cinema. The other is a man on the street. Listen, in perplexed and horrified terror, as we tear apart one film a week.
Just really
it's
isn't.
Not visually striking.
No.
Just getting confirmation.
It's just meaning that's the third time though. I mean, is this on?
You can find us at chinstrokerversuspenter.podomatic.com. So come and share the victory.
If you could fuck any man in film, who would it be and why?
My answer is Lance Henriksen.
Oh.
He wouldn't tell. He looks like somebody. He looks like somebody who can keep a secret.
Will be grief. before death, yes, I'm a thief.
Say we are back quite a lot, but we are back with our review of Brian Yuna's Faust, Love of the Damned. I'm pretty sure it's Brian Yuna, or not Yuzna. Would it be Yuzna?
I have no idea. I tend to pronounce the Z, but I'm pretty sure that's probably incorrect.
It could be Yuzna.
Could be.
Either way. Fucking stupid name. The plot on IMDb just says a man sells his soul to the devil.
There's a bit more to it than that. Here we go. An artist, John Jaspers, sells his soul to the mysterious M in order to get revenge on the people who killed his girlfriend. Soon he realizes everything has a price and he is transformed into a horned demon with a passion for killing. He learns that M plans to release the homunculus, a giant lizard-like creature, onto the earth, opening the gate to hell. Now Jaspers must stop M before he can let the apocalypse begin. There you go. Pretty much sums
Excellent.
It up.
It does indeed. So, this stars a bunch of shit people. Mark Frost, who I recognise from British TV, but I don't know where from.
He's shockingly bad.
But he is bad.
Say, it stars a bunch of shit people. And Jeffrey Combs.
Yeah, but Jeffrey Combs phoning it in massively.
You just stole the words right from my mouth there. I was literally going to use the phrase phoning it in. He didn't seem very excited about the whole thing, shall we say.
No, I think he's got some sort of contract with Brian Yuna about being in every single one of his shitbag films.
Did you not like the Reanimator sequels? Now, I know you like Return of the Living Dead 3. I know you do.
I do like Return of the Living Dead 3. That's my favourite of the Return of the Living Dead series.
So you don't hate all his films?
I don't hate all of his films. And I reviewed Progeny on GorePress.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I gave that quite a favourable review.
Yeah, I think you did.
But I did call it a botched abortion of a movie.
Let's hope he never finds our site.
Let's hope so. I like Jeffrey Combs, though. I think he's really great.
He is.
Something about his face just makes me happy.
He's a bit of a legend.
He is. In this, he plays a sleazy detective / renegade cop, which I thought was quite amusing and not a role that I expected to ever see Jeffrey Combs in.
No. I've got written down here, the first time he meets the female psychiatrist, Jeffrey Combs is a bit rapey. So there you go.
He's very rapey.
Definitely a bit sleazy.
What are your thoughts on Andrew Divoff?
I think Andrew Divoff plays a version of the same character in everything he's in. He doesn't.
Well, except for Lost, I would almost agree.
Well, I don't watch that, so I'll take your word for it. But yeah, he doesn't generally show a lot of range, does he? He's reliable
if you want
that sort of character.
I think he's amazing. I love Wishmaster. So. As M, I think he's amazing. Oh, what my note here says, weird, white-haired, TV-obsessed devil.
Yep, I'll give you that.
Have you seen Ted Danson lately?
I don't think so.
Well, he looks exactly like M.
Really?
Yes. He's like, all his hair's just turned completely white. And he looks exactly like M.
Oh, I'm going to have to find pictures now. I love the way you say, have you seen Ted Danson recently? Like, walking down the street, or... Do you see him about a lot?
I know your old friends.
No, I will have to look for a picture now, definitely. Not right now.
Okay, fair enough. So, the female psychiatrist, what's her name, Jade DeCamp, played by Isabel Brooke, who obviously went on to do stellar work in one episode of Holby City and one episode of Doctors, which are both, for those who don't know, they're both sort of British medical soaps. Her accent is fucking atrocious.
I'm not quite sure what kind of accent it was supposed to be. I take it she's British?
British.
I guess if she's in Holby City and Doctors, she is, but... Yeah, I don't know. Most of the time, she just sounded British. But with a hint of some other accent that she was attempting that wasn't quite coming
through. How did you find Mark Frost's accent? Because he's British also.
Yes. I thought every aspect of his performance was fucking dire, to be quite honest. And I think that's being quite generous. I thought he's awful. Terrible, terrible actor. Terrible accent.
It was an awful accent. But back to my point, anyway. The female psychiatrist she does musical therapy to try and help mental patients, effectively. I don't think mental patients is the PC way of putting it, but...
Service users.
She does have this... Yes.
If we're
but she does have this nice mix of really sort of soft, nice classical music and then angsty, I hate my parents, new metal.
Yeah, I did write down playing heavy metal to a mental is probably never a good idea.
I think a mental is even less PC than mental patient.
Well, I didn't intend to read that bit out on air, so that was... That was from my own personal notes. We'll call them a service user from now on. I think that's the PC term.
We will. Mongos. No, we're not calling them mongos.
Oh, dear.
But the music was just fucking terrible.
Yeah.
It was like, was the whole soundtrack just The Burning Red by Machine Head?
Well, I think there was some Sepultura in there as well.
And Cold Chamber played over the final credits as well.
Yeah, that's one thing I thought was really bad. There was no variation in the soundtrack at all. It could have been the same song.
It's true. It's all Roadrunner Records, like Machine Head, Sepultura... Cold Chamber, Typo Negative popped up a little bit there, and I love Typo Negative. But if I'm not watching the film and I'm singing along to The Blood, the Sweat, the Tears by Machine Head, then you're doing something wrong.
Yep. But yeah, I mean, if you're into that sort of music, great, good for you. But if you're not, then it's just... It doesn't make for a very good soundtrack. Even a sort of horror movie that's adapted from a graphic novel, it was too much. And it wore a bit thin towards the end as well. It was like, oh, another one. No.
Well, I think everything wore thin towards the end, but we'll get to that bit in a little bit. One of the notes here, I sort of write my notes in real time as I'm going along.
Mm-hmm.
And this note says, black girl has awful teeth and I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I take it by that you mean the one who played his girlfriend in the flashbacks.
Yes.
Okay.
Was that a flashback? Right, I understand.
Does that make more sense now?
I didn't know what the hell was going on at that point.
Did you wonder why he was institutionalised, then not, then institutionalised again?
Well, no, I sort of guessed. I guessed that there was some sort of something going on. I just didn't understand what was happening.
Okay.
And the guy in that same flashback, the Italian guy. I'm saying Italian and there's air quotes happening right now. What the fuck was that accent meant to be?
I have no idea. Yeah, he wasn't a very good villain.
He wasn't. He was. When you say he wasn't a very good villain, I think you mean he was the fucking worst presence to ever grace a screen. Ever.
Certainly one of.
And also the woman, the evil... I air quoting sexy again. This evil, sexy, seductress woman making the lead guy eat an apple. Was that... Do you think that's subtle Bible imagery going on right there?
Bible imagery, probably. Subtle, no. Not so much. But who was she? Was she the woman that was always with M?
Claire, her name was.
That's the one.
She was Spanish. She's a Spanish actress. Because obviously the film, being a Brian Yuna film, is filmed in Spain with an all-Spanish crew.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
it was a Spanish co-production,
Mexico.
Wasn't it?
Was it a Spanish co-production?
I think so, yeah. Because it was, I can't remember what the production company's called now, but it was their first film. They've only done 3 to date, but that was their first one.
Well, I don't hold high hopes for them.
No.
I'm a little bit distracted because one of the user reviews on IMDb is Faust Love of the Damned killed my baby.
Okay. It was pretty bad. I didn't realise it was that bad. Oh, yeah.
This review, I don't want to go too far off topic, but this review says, this movie is so bad and Jeffrey Combs' acting is so good that my unborn baby popped out of me and slapped against the screen in a flood of blood and amniotic fluids.
You forgot the next bit. Curse you, Jeffrey Combs. Oh, dear.
Curse your Oscar-grade acting and damn you for still being sexy after all these years.
Oh. I'm gonna...
Don't watch this movie or you'll be as bad as those monsters at the abortion clinics. And also, you'll lead a deviant lifestyle. That's a classic review. I love that.
Any truth to that?
Well, I was already a bit of a deviant before, but now I'm like, I'm a complete
off
deviant.
The scale.
Now. I'm wearing my leathers right now. Yes, I don't know where to go from that.
No, doesn't really make for a great segue to anything else, does it? To any other point that we've got.
One of my other notes was, I think Stan Lee might sue if he saw this. Schnicked! Which was that's the exact note.
Yeah, he did.
Obviously.
Look, sort of, I don't know, the Wolverine claws were a bit much. Yeah.
They were.
He was some just kind of geeky looking Wolverine vigilante that started to look more and more like a devil as he went on.
Yes.
But, what did I write down about that? Mark Frost, main character, looks like the devil if a transvestite had dressed as Satan for a costume party. Basically.
Oh, it's true. Mark Frost playing divine, playing Faust.
I mean, the devil costume wasn't all that bad, but I think the lipstick was a step too far.
It was awful. Oh, just going back to the music quickly.
Mm-hmm.
There's that incredible scene where he's ranting about her music therapy, and he's like, "Play me some Wagner!" And that really made me laugh quite a lot.
So, with regard to the effects, what did you think? Because it won, I can't remember what award it won, but it won an award for the special effects.
Well, I only know that because they put it in the opening credits to the film.
Yeah.
Which is like, look at us, we won an award for effects.
I must admit, after seeing that, I was watching it and thinking, I didn't read that right. Was it worst effects or best effects? I'm not quite clear.
I think it came in third. No. Well, there's that really great stop motion puppet skull scene. I didn't really understand what was going on, but it had lots of metal and the sort of skull was waggling around everywhere.
Yeah, it was when they stuck him in an open grave, hadn't they? I didn't know if that was really happening or if that was in his head or not.
Well, it was definitely really happening.
It was.
Because when he comes back, Em's all like, "I buried you,
So yeah, that part was quite good, if a bit obviously cheaply made, but they did quite well with that.
What about the homunculus?
You know what it reminded me of? To say that this is a film that won an award for the special effects, it's only 10 years old, it was made in 2000, but that bit looked like something out of Ghostbusters. I thought that looked, to me it looked so 80s. and also like a giant penis with teeth.
It did look like a giant penis with teeth. There's quite a lot of sexual imagery in the film as well.
A massive amount.
Like, I don't want to get too heavy into the climax, but the snake coming from a woman's womb and then being fed into another character's mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty sexy. And there's one scene when a woman is reduced to nothing but tits and ass.
Yeah, I didn't really understand that. He just turned her into a massive pair of boobs and a big bum and then turned her back. And then turned her back again. Yeah, I didn't really get that.
I don't know. I wasn't sure if it was like, I want to make a comment about the role of women and how they're just depicted as tits and ass. Or if he was like, oh, this will be fucking cool, let's put this in.
I'm pretty sure it was the latter. I don't think they're making a serious comment on anything.
Well, if you look at it in a certain way, I can see similar themes to that of Antichrist. And I know you haven't seen Antichrist.
Yeah, you were mentioning
but,
this.
And I'm no way comparing Faust and Antichrist, because that would be like comparing my dick to a piece of wood. But, I don't even know what I said then. But, there's lots of female realises that she's a bit fucked. And there's all that sort of rapey, daddy issue-y stuff where she realises that she's kind of evil because of the way... because she's a woman or something.
Hmm.
I don't know, but it's...
It was massively misogynistic.
Misogynistic.
From start to finish.
What else have I got on my notes here? There's that amazing... I've written amazing slash ridiculous. There's that shot of the grave where it says AUS on it and there's like a few little lines, and then when he sticks his Wolverine claws out of the ground... the shadow makes it say Faust.
Yeah.
I thought that was incredible.
Yeah, I agree with the slash ridiculous part though as well.
Oh, it was so good. And it's really easy to spot the baddies in this because they all have a pentagram somewhere on them.
Or a bad accent.
Normally tattooed on their arm.
Actually, scratch that. They all have bad accents.
Yes, they do.
Apart from Jeffrey
Combs. One of the notes... Well, is he the only American in the film? I think he might be.
I think, yeah, he's one of the few people who actually uses his genuine accent. The rest seem, a lot of the others seem to be put on.
It's true. I was always really upset when I learned that Andrew Dimmock doesn't talk like that in real life. I was expecting him just to be like hanging out in the street, like going to McDonald's, like, Big Mac, please. I love the way he pronounces S's, like they're fucking, oh, so good. One of the notes I got here is Fat Gene Simmons. I don't know what that means or what was happening when I wrote that, but I wrote Fat Gene Simmons.
I have no idea what that refers to.
I might not even
know
the film. Oh, Fat Gene Simmons, who knows? Oh, another note that I have no context for is short-haired bitch in a bra, slow-mo punching.
Oh, near the beginning?
It must be quite near the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. And a see-through bra, if I remember rightly.
What was happening in that scene? I don't really remember it at all.
I have no idea. There were a few people beating him up. And then he went all Wolverine on their ass and killed them all. But yeah, another thing that pissed me off, going back to the misogynistic aspect, every single woman in it had her tits out most of the time, apart from the main actress.
Well, she didn't get her tits out till the end.
But she did get them out.
Well, yeah, but she made you work for it. Isn't that feminism?
It's not feminism as I understand it. Who knows?
Who knows? Have you read the Source comic?
No. No,
me
I
neither.
Did. To be honest, I didn't even know it was based on a comic or a graphic novel until I did a bit of research.
The costume, the Faust superhero costume,
mm-hmm.
reminded me quite a lot of that Shaquille O'Neal Superman movie.
don't think I've seen that.
I think it was called Steel, where he plays... Well, Steel is one of the guys who replaces Superman when he has to go off and do something.
like shopping or...
yeah, pretty much. No, I think he's, like, trapped somewhere. It might be around Crisis times. And also, it reminds me of the Flash TV series that had Dawson's dad in it from Dawson's Creek.
Yeah. I think I know who you mean.
It just, like, seemed really oversized.
Yeah, it did. It was, I don't know. Was it supposed to be tongue-in-cheek?
I'd like to think it was. The tense is, but yeah.
So much of it was played straight that it seemed... A lot of it seemed like a spoof.
It did seem very spoofy. Definitely did seem very spoofy.
Yeah. I just thought if they'd made it... I don't know. If they'd made it more obvious that some of it should have been funny, it might have been more enjoyable. But a lot of it... I found myself laughing at a few points, but it just seemed unintentionally funny.
One of the things that really made me laugh in that scene where M turns that girl into nothing but like a massive pair of tits.
Mm-hmm.
They show a shot where the girl that plays Claire has her head right next to Andrew Divoff's head, and she's very attractive, but her head is at least three times the size of Andrew Divoff's head. And I don't know if Andrew Divoff's got like a little tiny pea head, but it's not attractive. If a girl's got a gigantic head.
Okay.
Also, in the scene where that woman gets turned into a massive pair of tits,
mm-hmm.
She's also lactating.
Yeah, that was pretty grim.
Yeah, so that makes me think that it might be some sort of comment, like that she's just a big pair of tits with milk coming out of them. In a sort of motherhood way.
You're determined to find some depth in this, aren't you?
Well, I don't understand why you would put a character who's just like nothing but a pair of tits and make her lactate. I mean, there's got to be some sort of thought process behind that. You can't just say, well, maybe you can, but there's got to be some depth to it, at least.
I don't know, maybe in the graphic novel. But I didn't see a whole lot of depth in the film. It was as if, I don't know, I've heard a few things, like the original graphic novel, the source material, was sort of X-rated, like comic porn, essentially. And apparently they toned quite a lot of it down for the film. But I think
right.
I think a lot of it just seems like it was lost on the makers of the film. Like, there could have been or should have been something there that they just weren't grasping. And they just thought, no, we're just going to make this big balls-to-the-wall movie about a guy that looks like a devil and comes back and kills people with Wolverine claws. And have
yes.
lots of tits in it.
Like the bat rather than the crow.
Yeah. It was like the crow meets Spawn, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Like the
Definitely.
Whole,
I've got that as a note somewhere.
Have you? Like the whole dead girlfriend... coming back as a vigilante to sort of take revenge against the people who killed her is
with the whole
straight
sort of
from
hell
the
aspect.
Yeah,
definitely. So let's talk a little bit about the gore.
Mm-hmm.
A few of the notes I've got on the gore. There's a really great scene where Faust is fighting some cops, and he uses Wolverine claws to like slice a cop on the chest,
mm-hmm.
and the cuts appear on his stomach.
Yeah,
which is amazing.
Magic.
And every single fight scene includes someone getting their hand cut off.
There was a lot of that, wasn't there?
There was. I think they had a lot of like wrist props.
Maybe just a lot of plastic hands lying around.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought some of the gore was actually all right, though. None of it really grossed me out. It was all quite comic book, but some of it was all right.
I would agree. It was pretty... I don't think it was award-winning.
No, not even 10 years ago.
But, yeah, it was alright. And then when the like they try and make it so it's like a dual character. So when he's John Jaspers, he's like a normal guy with a shit accent, and then when he's Faust, he becomes like this giant flaming ham.
Pretty much.
He just gets hammier and hammier, like when we thought it wasn't even possible for him to do so.
He does get more exaggerated.
He does. And you said off-air that he sort of tries to play Faust as like a Jim Carrey sort of character.
Yeah, that's what I got from it. It was just too much. Like I say, if it had been out-and-out comedy, it might have worked. But
I think I definitely agree.
It was a bit too... It was like he was trying to channel Jim Carrey circa The Mask, and it just didn't work.
I would, like I say, I definitely agree with that. It was like so over the top and like trying to be funny. I must have been like put in for comedic value, but like failed on every count.
Definitely. I mean, if they had a better actor and more budget and a better script. If it had been a better film.
I want to see Christopher Nolan's remake of Faust, Love of the Damned. That's what I want to see. With Christian Bale.
See, now that might work.
But he'd be if it was him, it'd be like just gruffness instead of wackiness. It'd be just as silly.
Yeah. Then he'd just go super method actor.
He would.
And start walking around in a suit all the time and stuff.
Yes, he would. He'd do that. And then he would, like, kill Brian Yuna for stepping on his shot or something.
Probably. And then Family Guy would take the piss and...
Yeah.
Back to square one.
And the internet would get hold of it and, yeah, it'd be comedy. So, there's that round table scene where M's got all his little underlings. And included in that round table is Mom from Futurama and a midget version of Don Davis, like the roundest, baldest midget you've ever seen.
I wondered why you were talking about bringing him up again. Yeah, I see it.
Oh, that midget was amazing. But, like, they brought all these other characters in to do nothing. Mm. Like, they just sort of were there. And then... It showed the round table, and then it showed like a scene of them all leaving and kissing Divoff's ring on his hand, and they were different people. They were actors that looked a bit similar to the people who were sat in the round table, but they were different ones.
Really?
Yeah, like the one who looked like Mom had brown hair when she was leaving, but she had blonde hair when she was sat at the table.
Was that intentional? I think I must have started drifting towards the end of the film.
I have no idea if it was intentional. It was fucking stupid. In the climax, Divoff's hair looks absolutely ridiculous.
It seemed to get bigger as the film went on.
It did. It was so bad. He started to look like Christopher Walken towards the end.
A little bit.
And another note I've got here is whenever you walk into like the villain's place and the villain has obviously trapped you, it's all been a big sort of setup trap, and he hands you a glass, the first thing you obviously do is drink out of it without any sort of question.
Of course. Would you not do that?
It depends what was in it. Well, if I knew what was in it, then I would probably... I don't know, that doesn't make any sense. Yes, I would. I would drink it, and then I would recount the tales of my childhood rape.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I'm talking about the film now. I'm not just talking about my actual childhood rape. That's for later. So the climax was very silly. All that stuff with the Lando moment where the girl tries to kill Divoff, but he can't die because he's a badass, and badasses don't die. When all that stuff happened, and then somehow the girl's trapped in a cage, and now she's all sexy. I don't really know what was happening.
No, I don't. I don't know. It was the whole thing seemed a bit confused, but the last half an hour just seemed to abandon any notion of a coherent script or any kind of linear narrative. It just went
it's
a bit
true.
Mental.
Definitely did. And CG fire is fucking shit.
It is. Definitely. Definitely agree with that.
So,
that was awful.
This film won an award for effects, like we said, mm-hmm. and the CG fire looks like fucking Quake or something.
It does. Unless, was it last week you were talking about is it Screaming Mad George?
Yes.
The effects guy. Well, apparently, I read somewhere that the only effects he had anything to do with were the homunculus creature at the end, which I thought was one of the weakest bits.
Well, I can sort of see it, though. You can sort of see a progression from, say, Freaked. Well, maybe not a progression, but at least a connection between the stuff that he did in Freaked and the stuff that he's done on this.
Yeah, but, I don't know, it worked in a comedy.
Yeah.
But not in this.
Well, he's just a Japanese surrealist, though. He's not, like... Mm.
But if they
he's not a special effects person.
If they'd done everything
like
that...
He's like H.R. Geiger.
If they'd done everything to match that, it might not have looked so out of place. But because a lot of the effects didn't match that bit at the end,
yeah,
it seemed a bit silly. It was
it
obvious they'd roped somebody else in to do it.
I don't even know how they got him to do it. He's so far above this film.
Mm.
And I've only got three notes left.
I haven't got any, so I'll let
one
you.
Of them was...
I'll let you
pardon?
Go. I was just going to say, I haven't got any, so I'll let you go.
Okay. Well, one of them is... it was all very easy in the end, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, the climax was a bit anticlimactic.
It was. I don't even remember what happened, but it wasn't very good. The next one is longest film ever, underlined. 100 minutes is far too long for a stupid horror thing about a superhero demon man soul thing.
It seemed longer than that.
It felt like we were just... I was watching it for hours, like a whole day of my life passed by while I was watching that piece of shit film.
Yeah, definitely.
And the last note is Cold Chamber credits, awesome. Mm-hmm. I haven't listened to Cold Chamber in a long time, which is probably for the best. But it was nice to hear them again, but just all the music was so out of place and awful.
Yeah, definitely agree with that.
So, to sum up?
Don't watch it. I don't know. It's really, really hard to find anything really positive to say about it. Which should tell you all you need to know, really. Can you think of anything positive to say about it?
I think it's a fun film to watch with your friends who like shit films.
But you're having
drunk.
Or who
like laughing at shit films while you're drunk, definitely.
Yeah. Booze is essential, I think. I watched it sober and I wish I hadn't. Yeah.
So, you give it a rating out of 10?
I might go as high as 3, but I think that's bloody generous, to be honest.
Well, I wrote 3 ratings down. I started off at 5.5 out of 10. And then I went down to 4.5 out of 10, and then I finally rested on 4 out of 10.
Okay.
So, but I think it's quite fun. I think it's got some really fun parts, but it's fucking mainly shit.
If it had been done with a bigger budget and better actors, it could have been a much, much better film. The story wasn't awful, just a bit confused.
Yeah, I would agree. So right, we're done on 5%, I take it?
We are, yes.
Excellent. We'll be back shortly with our DVD reviews and some feedback. Not reviews, fucking releases. That's the one. Yay!
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Frank.
And we have a weekly podcast called Are You Serious? In this podcast, we talk about current events.
And we talk about movies.
Politics.
People who bug us in the political world. Foolish things that go on.
We're two guys from Massachusetts.
We are definite blue staters.
I'm left-handed.
I have a left hand.
So if you're interested in hearing the news filtered through two belligerent, outspoken...
Sarcastic is probably a good word, too.
Sarcastic is a good word. Guys from Massachusetts, then tune in to...
Are You Serious Podcast.
Available on iTunes and at areyouseriouspodcast.com.
At all fine downloadable podcast places.
That's awful.
You can edit that out, right? That's the worst part. Just keep the rest of it, but get rid of what I said.
Okay.
Right, so that was... What's the name of the band, Sarah?
They're a band called 7 Day Conspiracy from Kent.
Excellent.
Yeah, really, really good band. Always gigging in and around Kent. So if you're sort of in the area of South England, then you should definitely get along to one of their shows. They're always fantastic.
Yeah, I'm going to look out for them. I really dug it. Mm. It's kind of like a bit snuffy, very English, but also good fun at the same time.
Yeah, definitely.
I didn't mention last week's featured artist because they weren't the featured artist before we edited the show together, but that was Sam Russo, and he's just brilliant. I really like him. If you like stuff like Billy Bragg, he's sort of like a modern-day Billy Bragg-esque folkster, I'd say.
Yep.
So we're going to power on with the DVD releases for this week and next week. So the first DVD that's coming out this week is Twilight New Moon.
Yeah.
You a fan of Twilight, Sarah?
I can't say I'm a fan of Twilight, no. As we were saying before we were on air. If I was 12, I would probably absolutely adore it, but I think if you're sort of outside of your teens, it's probably going to be a bit lost on you.
Well, like I say, Hannah really likes Twilight, but I don't have the required equipment.
No.
Also out this week is Paranormal Activity, which I haven't seen.
Yeah, I have, and it's... I think it was a case of the hype ruining this one for me. It's not a bad film. If you like Blair Witch and that kind of sort of found footage type of film, then you'll probably really like it, but it didn't do a lot for me, I'll be honest.
Did you review it on the site?
I did, yes. There's a review on GoPress of it. I think I gave it 5.
I wasn't sure if it was you.
Yeah, it was me.
You say you give it 5 out of 10? 5 skulls?
I think so, yeah.
Fair enough. That seems quite low from what I've heard, but...
Yeah, it just didn't tread any new ground for me. There were some really effectively scary parts, but intercut with really, really boring bits that just made the whole thing drag.
Nightmare. Next on my list, I've got the Twin Peaks Gold Box, which isn't technically a film, but is technically fucking incredible. So, Twin Peaks is great. That's all that needs to be said about Twin Peaks, apparently.
I have nothing to add to that.
This week on DVD is also Salvage, which is also getting a short cinema release this week as well.
Yeah.
Which is a sort of a British horror. I don't know too much about it, but...
No, I'll be honest, I don't know a lot about it other than it's a British film.
Yeah.
I've heard a couple of good things about it.
I don't know anyone that's seen it yet, but I'm sure some people have.
What a statement.
Yes. Blood on Satan's Claw is getting re-released this week, which is an old film. My notes for this section this week are shocking, just so you're aware. So let's move on. Across the Hall, which is a thriller starring none other than... what the hell's her name? She died. Who's that woman that died?
You're going to have to narrow it down for me. Recently?
The actress. She's in Clueless.
Oh, Brittany Murphy.
Yeah, she's in it. She's a woman who is receiving phone calls saying that someone's going to die or something. Yeah. the Danny Dyer, Gillian Anderson epic rape revenge thriller Straight Heads is out on Blu-ray this week, which I started writing a review for Straight Heads, but it had the word fuck too many times in it, so I just abandoned it.
Okay.
I didn't hate the film, I just thought, oh, I just couldn't express myself without using the word fuck. Terror at the Opera is released this week, which I assume is a Phantom of the Opera style story. Beyond Terror are releasing Zombie Holocaust, which has already had a pretty decent few releases, so I don't know if I'll be picking that up. Well, I definitely won't be because I already own it, but Beyond Terror do sort of fairly vanilla discs. I don't really see why that's been re-released.
No, I don't really know a lot about Beyond Terror. They sort of picked up where Vipco left off.
Yes, they definitely did.
Okay.
Vipco were always shit, though. I was never a fan of the Vipco stuff.
They were always massively cut versions of the films.
They were. I think Shameless do a lot of the good stuff where the Vipco did release, but Shameless do it a lot better. They're a lot more... Shameless feel like they're run by people who actually give a shit.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah. Arrow's Masters of Giallo series that they're doing, they've released the Stendhal Syndrome and The Card Player, both two of Dario Argento's worst films. So I don't know if they're trying to pass him off as a Master of Giallo or like a failed, miserable old man.
Who knows?
But he definitely comes across that way. Card Player is so bad. Voyage to the Prehistoric Planet is a mid-60s sci-fi horror dinosaur stomp film. There's a film out this week that I am definitely going to be checking out, which is called I Am Virgin, which is sort of a vaguely pornish take on I Am Legend.
Okay.
With a man and like a couple of thousand lesbian vampires. Maybe not lesbian vampires, just sort of sexy, semi-nude vampires.
Sounds more your sort of thing than mine, I'll be honest.
I think that sounds incredible. I'm all for those sort of cheap porn horror film things. One of my favourites, Ghost in a Teeny Bikini, is incredible. And The Erotic Witch Project and all those ones are so great. Anything with Misty Monday, that just gets me right happy. But Misty Monday's not in I Am Virgin, which is a shame. Also, the final DVD this week is Dr. Terror's House of Horrors, which I've never seen, but has been around for quite a long time and is quite popular, I guess. Have you seen it?
I haven't, to be honest, no. Probably should rectify that at some point.
Yeah, it seems to be like one of the films that I should have seen but just haven't. Sorry, go on.
I was just going to say, it also looks like they've given the Blair Witch Project another DVD release, which I guess is to sort of hopefully ride the coattails of Paranormal Activity.
That could be the case.
Mm.
I don't know how I missed that one. I still haven't seen the Blair Witch Project.
Ever?
No,
that
I own it.
Me.
And it was just one of those that I was like, I didn't need to see it because I just know everything that happens.
Yeah, I think that was another one that was ruined by the hype for me. Although
definitely, I would say that the hype was a problem.
Mm. I think I was about 16 back when that came out, though, 16, 17, and I did go to the cinema to see it, and it did scare me back then. But it's one that doesn't hold up to repeat viewings. If you've seen it once, you'd never want to watch it again, I imagine.
I can't imagine young Sarah liking that. When I first met you, you were all about like proper films.
Proper films.
Well, you were like all about sort of American indie directors.
Yeah, a little bit. Oh, how I've changed.
Oh, indeed. And so the cinema release for this week, this is the only cinema release at all in the next 2 weeks worth talking about that isn't salvage, is Ty West's House of the Devil.
Ah, yeah.
Which is getting a similar release to go along with the DVD release, which is something that seems to be happening quite a lot lately. They sort of release the DVD and then do a sort of small theatrical release afterwards.
Yeah.
But I love House of the Devil and I can't recommend it enough. So that's that. So next week there's a new release of Day of the Dead, George Romero's my favourite of the original zombie trilogy.
Definitely one of the best.
Yes. Well, it's my favourite one. I mean, everybody always talks about Dawn of the Dead, but Day of the Dead for me is just a lot more fun and a lot more there's a lot more going on, which is kind of the point, I guess. I don't know who's releasing that. I've not got it in front of me now, but it looks like, I mean, there was a 2-disc release a couple of years ago which I own, and I can't imagine this new one will have much extra stuff on it. Last week we talked a little bit about Clive Barker's Dread getting released in that box set. Well, now it's got an individual release, and like I said last week, I really enjoyed Dread.
Yeah, I think it was one of the Horror Fest's 8 films to die for this year.
Oh, it could have been.
I think it was. Yeah, but it looks alright. I haven't seen it myself, but it looks good.
Well, that After Dark Horror Fest is normally just like stacked with shit.
It's a mixed bag for me. Some of them are really, really good, and some are just shockingly bad.
I mean, I watched a few from last year's. Obviously, Autopsy was in last year's, and I loved Autopsy.
Yeah.
Which I think I'm maybe the only person, but I gave it, did I give it 9 out of 10?
Something ridiculously high, yeah.
It's so good. So yeah, I really love that. And I reviewed Slaughter, that was in last year's one as well, and I can't remember if I liked that or not. It was so long ago, but I remember the opening scene quite vividly. Also released this week, next week, is His Name Was Jason, which I do believe is a documentary about the Friday the 13th films. But beyond that, I don't know much about it. Hellbride is being released this week, which sounds like a fantastic film.
How could it not be with that title?
Exactly. Anything with hell in the title is good, including Hellraiser 15. We've got spikes in our heads, or whatever it's called. one of your all-time favourite films, Night of the Living Dead 3D, starring Sid Haig, is being released.
One of my all-time favourites.
It's fucking awful. It's so bad.
I haven't seen it.
Well, keep it that way, because it's fucking atrocious. Funny Games, the original Funny Games, is being released or getting a re-release, a UK release. I don't know if it was released before, but I said released it then.
You did.
In case you missed that. But it's getting released. I kind of like Funny Games, but it's sort of telling me that I'm a dick for liking violent movies is not really on in my book.
No.
Although it doesn't, I'll come out and say Michael Haneke doesn't come on screen and go, "You're a dick, Jamie. Stop watching tits and gore."
If he did, would you?
But effectively, that's what the film's all about. If he did, no. If he made 50 films a year for the rest of his life and they were all as good as The White Ribbon, then I might consider it.
Unlikely.
It is unlikely. Red Knights of the Gestapo. That sounds like a fairly interesting sort of SS Nazi gore type revenge thing. Yeah.
Any more descriptive words you want to shove in there?
Dog. There's a film coming out called Lie Back and Bleed, which probably takes you back to when you were at the dentist earlier in the week. I don't know what it's about, but
probably not dentists.
Sounds awful. No.
What's the full title?
We should cover
is
the dentist at some point.
Yeah. We could do a double bill of the dentist and Straw Dogs.
We could. Or the dentist and the dentist too. Two of Brian Yuzna's, blah, 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 was fucking worst movies.
Just two of, though. The third would be Faust.
Among his many. There's a film called Invitation Only, which I do believe is about a bunch of people who get invited to a party and then are killed in various ways, which sounds very similar to Murder Party, which I didn't write a review for, but I loved. There's a film called Skate or Die, which sounds fairly innocuous, but I believe it's a Japanese horror film about skaters dying.
What leads you to believe that?
Yes. Hard Revenge Merely 1 and 2 are coming out, which I haven't seen any of them, but I've heard really good things about the Hard Revenge Merely stuff. Feast 3 is out on UK DVD, and also the Feast Trilogy box set is coming out. You're a fan of the Feast movies, aren't you?
I am. I love the Feast movies. But I know I shouldn't. The first one was... I thought the first one was absolutely amazing. Really, really great film. The second two, kind of in the same vein, but just seem to take it one step further with regards to...
I really like the first one because it sort of fucked with what you already knew about horror films.
Yeah.
So it was like... It was all archetypes and... really obvious stuff happening, and that was the point. Mm-hmm. But like, I haven't seen any of the sequels, so I have no idea what they're like.
The sequels are good. They, if that's possible, seem even more cheaply made.
But
it's not necessarily detrimental to the films. I think they're great fun. Not amazing things, but another one of those sort of, if you've got a bunch of mates who like B movies and have some beers handy, then stick them on. They're great fun.
I thought the production value in the first one was really quite high.
I don't know how high it was. I know it was. It was made because it won. Oh God, what's the TV show that was on in America?
Pitch Idol, whatever it's called.
I can't remember what it was now. I think it was Ben Affleck and Matt Damon put up some money, and sort of people got to pitch their film ideas, and the winner got made, and that was one of the ones that
not
won.
not in like the New York Italian gangster.
Not that kind of made. Got produced, I don't know, but yeah, it won one of the series of that, so I honestly don't know what kind of budget was pumped into it, but the second two definitely appears to have been a lot less money put into them, but like I say, not necessarily a bad thing.
Fair enough. I need to check those out. I guess I only watched the first one because you sort of hoisted it upon me.
I did make
when,
you
when
watch
I was visiting
it.
You one time.
You enjoyed it. Make it sound like it's a bad thing.
I always see that on that weekend you made me watch Weirdsville, and I always see it about, and I can't remember if I liked it or not.
You said you did, I think, but
I wouldn't lie, so I must
probably
have liked
not.
It.
No, yeah, I think I remember you enjoying that.
Well, back to. The list, sorry.
Relevant.
Silent Night, Bloody Night is getting a release.
Another Beyond Terror one, isn't it?
It is. I was getting mixed up with Silent Night, Deadly Night.
Yeah.
But Silent Night, Bloody Night, I think I got it in one of those. I got it in a box set from The Works, which is like the cheap art shop. I got a 10 DVD box set that also had Not of This Earth and some other movies in it. But I love Not of This Earth, so that was worth like the £3 I paid for it. But I've never watched Silent Night, Bloody Night. Does it have Linda Blair in it, or Linnea Quigley in it, or someone? Perhaps, I don't know. Also out this week is Vampires with a Y. I don't know what that is. The case is made to look like the Carpenter.
John Carpenter's Vampires, yeah.
But it's not that, so I don't know what that is.
No, all I know is it's a much older movie. It's not a new one.
Good. Or not good, who knows. The I Sell the Dead Blu-ray is out this week, which I haven't seen I Sell the Dead. It showed at Fright Fest last year, but it was in the Discovery screen, and therefore I missed it. But it's got Ron Perlman, Larry Fassenden, that Hobbit from Lost... and they are grave robbers who have to fight the living dead, which sounds quite interesting. And then the final DVD I've got listed for this week is Dinosaur Valley Girls. which just sounds right up my street.
It does.
I'll be honest. I think that'd sit really nicely in my collection between, well, it wouldn't go between because they're alphabetized, but between Sorority Girls in a Slime Ball Ballerama and Assault of the Killer Bimbos.
Good stuff.
Yes. I'm just sort of desperately trying to find my list of people to plug. That's about it. That's a list of films that I might review at some point. Oh shit, I've lost my list. Anyway, so we're going to do a bit of feedback now. So I'm going to read some emails from some people. I'll give a big thanks to people who wrote in from our first show last week. It was a lot of fun. It was really nice to hear some nice things back from people.
And also quite surprising.
It was quite surprising. Especially because the show sounded so fucking awful. Like, I've got no idea how badly this one's going to sound, but last week's was terrible, so it can only get better from here. But if you want to write us an email, what's the email address again?
The email address is podcast@gorepress.com.
That's podcast@gorepress.com. Or you can always comment on the podcast page on the Gore Press website.
Mm-hmm.
So the first email address is from Josh, who doesn't do the varied celluloid podcast because that doesn't exist. He does the V Cinema podcast, but he also writes varied celluloid. The email says, "Hi, Jamie and Sarah. Great first episode of the podcast, guys. I listened to it all the way through..." No, it doesn't say that. "I listened to it the whole way through this afternoon and really liked it. You guys come across really well together and are legitimate genre fans." I wonder what an illegitimate genre fan is.
Not us. Like, we don't need to worry about that.
Yeah, I guess we don't. Freaked is a personal favourite of mine as well. I discovered it as a kid and was blown away by its brazen silliness. As for Alex Winter, co-director and star of the movie, he's an interesting character from the 90s. I'm just adding various inflection into his email here, just in case anyone wonders what's wrong with his grammar. After the success of Bill and Ted, he actually created his own TV show called The Idiot Box, which aired on MTV. It was a sketch comedy show that lasted one season, but it was directed once again by Winter and Tom Stern, who both shared directing credits for Freaked. The show was essentially a warm-up for Freaked, and it was very similar in its sensibilities. The mix of animation, claymation, and generally really warped ideas, all things present on the Idiot Box. I've got way more of these to do as well. This is awful. Many episodes of the show are available on YouTube, and should be easily found searching Idiot Box Alex Winter. Also, Winter directed a small, little, independent film noir horror flick back in 1999 called Fever, which is actually pretty good. It was a stylish little number from what I can recall, and impressed me that, at the time. He has recently been directing small TV movies for the Disney Channel. Sorry, excuse me. But apparently, his name is attached His name is attached as the director of the remake of The Gate. I can actually get excited about that. If you watch Freaked or The Idiot Box or his short Entering Texas, featuring the Butthole Surfers, you will know that this guy has some demented visual ideas. I would like to see that unleashed. Anyway, sorry for going on a little long. Just wanted to say great show and kudos for covering one of my favourites. So thanks for that, Josh. We obviously loved Freaked. I've watched a little bit of The Idiot Box since getting this email, and I really dug it. I managed to find the entire series on a place where I go to get things that we don't talk about, and it's really good. It's good fun. They edited it all into one thing because it's all split up by music videos, kind of like Beavis and Butthead was. But it's really good. Did you manage to watch any?
I haven't yet. No. I need to find the time to do that. Definitely need to check it out.
Excellent. So thanks for that, Josh. Next, we've got an email from Emily, who is Emily and not Erica. And she does the Deadly Dolls House .blogspot.com blog. If I got that wrong, I'm really sorry. I don't have my list of stuff to plug. So the email is titled "You Have a Podcast." So here it goes. Hey, the next batch of interesting podcasters is about to make me scramble to find another 75 minutes of my life to devote to their conversation. Loved episode 1, godlike echo and all. I did have a godlike echo. I can deal with patchy audio if the discussion is working, and you British kids had me early. A few comments on the movies you mentioned. 1, Silent Night, Deadly Night 5 is actually considered by many to be the best of the series, which is also directed by Brian Yuzna. Interestingly enough, that's not in the email, I'm adding that. I'm saving it for next Christmas. I'm going on a 20 plus year childhood memory, but I do believe it's worth any technical advisor being proud of. I share Jamie's affection for the 4th, I think Rennie Harlan directed Nightmare on Elm Street. It's not very good, particularly as it follows the high point that was Dream Warriors, but it does earn points for 1, a terribly entertaining theme song is amazing, 2, the Alice in Wonderlandish sequence towards the end, and 3, one of my favourite death scenes in cinema history, the Kafka-esque cockroach transformation of the girl who used to be in the 80s sitcom Just the Ten of Us. I have no idea what Just the Ten of Us is. Midnight Meat Train, I wanted to love it, I really did, hearing the whole shafting by Lionsgate gave it that underdog status that begged for approval. Then I watched the movie and hated everything about it. Dull, slow, inane, weirdly glossy, and in no way fitting its down and dirty sounding title. Plus, not one person in the unnamed city seemed to notice that people were disappearing on the subway every single night of the week. Thud. Dead Girl. One of the best horror films in recent years, in my opinion. It's almost impossible to make a fresh zombie film nowadays, and what Dead Girl did was simply use the concept of what a zombie is to tell a completely different and human story about the frustration of lonely teenagers well aware of their lack of importance in the bigger picture. Not a fun time, but an excellent movie. That's all for now. Toodles, ta-ta, Honey Nut Cheerio, or whatever you queen-worshipping kids say, Emily. So thanks for that, Emily. Yeah. I haven't seen Silent Night, Deadly Night 5, as you probably guessed from me not knowing much about it last week. But I'll probably check it out. I love the second one. Have you seen Nightmare on Elm Street 4, Sarah?
I can't actually remember. It's been so long since I've seen any of them that I can never remember which one's which, apart from the first one, obviously.
Obviously. Speaking of the first one, did you see the trailer for the remake?
I did.
Did we talk about this last week? Last time?
I honestly can't remember. I don't think we did. I don't remember.
No, I don't think we did either. I'm sort of holding out a little bit of hope. It looks pretty creepy.
Yeah, it could be alright. I've just been let down by so many of them recently. Like, oh, my bloody Valentine. That was so appallingly bad.
I didn't see my bloody Valentine, but I heard from a lot of people that, that it was actually one of the better remakes.
Oh, it was so awful. It was terrible. And I recently just watched Friday the 13th. Well, I want to say remake, but it's not really a remake. More
just
of
a sequel.
Yeah, kind of. More of a rejuvenation. I reviewed it last week, actually. It's on Gore Press. And it's basically sort of the Halloween H2O of that franchise. Like, it kind of ignored a lot of what had come before.
Yeah. So it was shit, then?
It wasn't great.
If it was the Halloween H2O of it.
It wasn't brilliant.
We sort of got everything we needed to get out by Midnight Meat Train last week, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
And Dead Girl, we still love Dead Girl.
We do.
Emily writes a really good blog. It's really funny. I would recommend anybody check it out. The next email is from Ben, who does the Cinecultania podcast, which he's Australian, and it's cool. The email says, "Ahoy, Jamie and Sarah. Congratulations on getting the podcast up and running. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Don't worry about the teething issues. They straighten out faster than a puff in Alabama. Nice description there. Anyway, scandalous comments aside, I'm looking forward to further episodes and must note that you have inspired the April Cine Cult, my once-a-month movie night in Bar 303 in Melbourne. Yes, couldn't decide what to play after this month's screening of Street Trash, so why not follow it with Freaked? Done and done. Thanks again for the entertainment, Ben. So, what do you think of Street Trash? Have you seen Street Trash?
I'm not sure I have, actually.
Street Trash is great. You should watch it this afternoon, this evening, anytime. Arrow have just released like a 2-disc version of it, and it looks really awesome. My version is called Horror on Bowery Street for some reason, but I'm going to pick up this Arrow version really soon. And if anyone's listening in Melbourne, go to Cinecult because you get to see Ben and films. What more could you want? And then the final email is from Alex, who is also the co-host of Cinecultania. And the email says, "Sup, DJ and Sarah." I like that. It makes me sound important. What sort of important? It makes me sound like I saved your life last night. Obscure 90s pop references. Anyway, this is Alex, the less insane and apparently half of the Cinecultania podcast. Having thoroughly enjoyed Jamie's feedback to our own podcast, I can truthfully say, before listening to the Gorecast, if somebody asked me who Jamie / Sarah were, I would have replied, insert South African accent here, "I don't know who he is, but now I do. Ha! Just wanted to send a quickie saying congrats on the first episode. Informative, entertaining, and easy to listen to. Your voices are a dream. Palm accents always sound so slick and soothing." Wait, let me rephrase that. Some palm accents do, and yours are the shiznit. Don't really have anything intelligent to say, I never do. So I might end it here, and looking forward to further endeavours, and keep on trucking, you sexy mofos. Kisses, Alex. The I don't know who he is thing there. I sent some feedback into the show because they were talking about something, accents or something, and it reminded me of a story, which I'm going to retell here for those who don't listen to Cinecultania or don't see me on a regular basis. I went to a party in somewhere in Manchester, Crumpsall it was, and I can't do any accents, and I was trying to do a New Zealand accent, and I couldn't do it. It just came out sounding South African. And I met this guy at a party, and he was South African, and I was wasted, like literally, like completely wasted. And I just kept saying, "I don't know who he is," all the time, over and over and over again. And then, like, as I got more drunk, I was like, "Oi, mate, name a South African celebrity." And he was like, "I don't know. I don't even know any South African celebrities." So let's say he said Nelson Mandela. So I said, "Name a South African celebrity." "Nelson Mandela." "I don't know who he is." And it went on for ages. And that guy probably thinks I'm an absolute prick. But there you go.
Safe to say.
I've seen him since. We talked about the stabilizer. He's a cool guy. But so thank you there. Not Lexi, Alex. I keep calling her Lexi, and I get told off for it because that's not her podcast name. That's like a secret other name for when she's doing other endeavours. But now I've just shared it with the entire world.
Not so secret anymore.
Not at all. Sorry about that. Sorry about that, Lex. Alex. Thank you for your email again. So I guess that pretty much covers everything that we've got to do. Obviously, check out gorepress.com. for reviews, interviews, features, and a podcast. What have we got coming up on the website? Anything in the bank?
Got quite a few TV reviews to go up.
Excellent.
The remainder of The X-Files. I think we've got series 1 to 4 on there at the minute, so we've got the rest of those coming. Being Human, that we talked a little bit about last week, got series 1 and 2 reviews on the way, and Fear Itself, as soon as I start writing that one.
Also my Fright Fest reviews that still haven't gone up yet because I'm still having trouble writing them. I think I've just sort of lost my finger mojo at the moment. Also check out Sarah's jewellery website. What's the URL?
URL is, oh god, I'm dropping things. URL is www.sugarandvicedesigns.com.
Excellent, so yeah, definitely check that out. If you want to check my other blog out, which my controversial blog at
which is now quite
Let's
famous.
Let's Get Dangerous is, it's doing alright. Who was that lawyer? What was his name?
Oh gosh.
Hang on.
Let me check. Larry Zerner.
Larry Zerner.
Yeah.
It's come to my attention that Larry Zerner has said that if I was based in the US, he would represent me if it ever went that far.
Which
is nice to know. But it won't. Also, check out some other podcasts. Check out Cinecultania. Check out the V Cinema podcast, Outside the Cinema, Gentleman's Guide to Midnight Cinema, Chinstroker versus Punter. Cinema Diabolica are back. This is incredible news. Check out Are You Serious, Night of Living podcast, which is just fucking hilarious. And Show. I've been enjoying Show a bit lately as well. And also Mondo Movie. I've talked so much that my voice is going a little bit. So I guess we'll say goodbye.
Yeah, sure, Simon. Need to wrap up then.
Yeah. We went on a little bit longer than I said. I'm sorry, Sarah. You can go off and do your errands now.
I will do.
What are we covering next time? We're covering The Eye and...
Hansel and Gretel, the Korean film.
Hansel and Gretel, yes.
So, having a bit of an Asian horror theme.
That sounds good to me. I still haven't seen The Eye all the way through. So I'm looking forward to having a proper excuse to watch it. So there you go. So we'll catch you next time. Always check out gorepress.com. Send any feedback to podcast@gorepress.com, or you can always pop your comments in the comments box on the podcast page.
Yeah, please do.
Excellent. So thanks a lot. I'll speak to you all on the Twitter. Follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/_dangerous. But don't follow Sarah, because she's not on Twitter. Why aren't you on Twitter yet, Sarah?
I don't know. Technology doesn't agree with me. Facebook's enough.
Fair enough. So, salutations, and we will speak to you next time.
Yeah, thank you for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Bye-bye.